Praise God. Meditation. Now, the reason this is so important is because of what the Bible tells us about meditation. The very first person we're told in the Bible was in a meditation was Isaac. The Bible tells us that he went out in the evening time and meditated. Meaning it was part of his life. It was a practice. And knowing his story, that definitely would have come from Abraham, his father. So much to say about it. We're going to discuss that. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. From that verse, it seems to bring in a practical side of life. Something that we can actually do to have divine results. When we meditate and have it inside us in abundance, it necessarily produces something. There is a result. It doesn't just, you don't just meditate and start thinking what to do with your meditation. Meditation is a process that produces a result. Let me look at something. There's a verse of scripture. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. It says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself completely to them, so that your progress may appear to all, so that your progress may become evident. God wants your progress to be evident, which means you can be so successful that your success will become evident to others. There's no such thing as hidden success. In fact, the Lord says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, when your success, when your progress becomes evident, God will be glorified. Others will see your progress and glorify your Heavenly Father. Now, it says, meditate upon these things and give yourself completely to them that your progress may appear to all. Now, what do you mean by meditate? It says, meditate. What does it mean? What does it mean to meditate? I just want to give you a few thoughts here that will help you. It's first translated to us here from the Greek meletao. It means to premeditate, to imagine. That means that you are using your mind to imagine. To imagine. Now, notice, he's not talking about some stray pictures coming to your mind. You are imagining. So you are actually visualizing in your mind to devise. See, to devise, which means you actually create those pictures in your mind. You create them. You construct them. Another word is to contrive. To contrive. And then it means to ponder for the purpose of putting to practice. To ponder for the purpose of putting to practice. You know, some people think, they just think, they meditate on their fears. They meditate on something terrible going to happen to them. They meditate on some dangerous situation they might find themselves. They just keep meditating on the wrong things. They create the wrong imaginations, the wrong pictures of getting into trouble, of failing, of getting sick. Nasty things come to their minds. Terrible things come to their minds. And then they say, I don't know why these bad thoughts keep coming to me. You set those things in motion with your mind. There are a lot of people who have bad dreams. Terrible dreams. Somebody's running after them in the night. Someone's trying to destroy them. I can't have any of such dreams. It's not possible. I can't have such dreams. Because I don't create such. I create dreams of progress, success, advancement. That's what he told us to do. To use our minds correctly. Your mind is a tool. Never forget it. You've got to use your mind. God gave you a mind with which to chart your course. To decide where you're going to be. You know, the spirit realm is something we need to understand. How we live from the spirit realm into the natural world. We create, the spirit realm is where you create anything. God didn't just put things there like, okay, these things are in existence just for you with your name on them. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. He gave you all the necessary tools to create in the realm of the spirit whatever it is you want. That's the way it is. You create what you want in the realm of the spirit. Then you meditate, set your mind on them. You cannot meditate in a hurry. You see, if you meditate in a hurry, it's not meditation. You can't meditate in a hurry. You can't say, no, I want to meditate quickly now. No. It's some painstaking effort. You ruminate. See, in your mind, you revolve. Those thoughts revolve in your mind. They take their time. There's no such thing as fast-forwarding your thoughts, you know, for meditation. No. You construct them, then they become solid. If you have them in your mind, give time to them, then nothing can stop them from becoming real in the natural world. That's how you bring them from the realm of the spirit into the natural world. If you didn't complete the construction in the spirit, you can't bring it into the natural world. You've got to learn to use your meditation. He says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself completely to them, that your progress may become evident. Look at the next verse. The verse that follows it is very powerful because it's in the same line of thinking. Now, I want you to see it. That's the 16th verse. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Wow, that's so wonderful. He says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. Be absorbed in them so that everyone will see your progress. Be conscientious about how you live. That's the 16th verse. Be conscientious about how you live and what you teach. Persevere in this, because by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. Wonderful, wonderful. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Version. It says, practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them so that your progress may be evident to everybody. Look well to yourself, to your own personality, and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, hold to them, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, a lady went to her pastor who really believed the teachings of God's word and the power of meditation. She had a daughter who was behaving very badly and would leave home for long periods of time and run off with some man somewhere, you know. And this Christian woman was so frustrated by the situation. And she went to a pastor. And she said, my daughter is driving me nuts. She's terrible. She's of the devil. I think the devil gave me this girl. And the pastor said, sister, you are in a bigger problem than your daughter. And she said, Pastor, why? He said, because as long as you see your daughter this way, that's what you're going to have. She didn't understand it. Then he said, haven't you been praying about it? She said, yes. He said, so why isn't there a change? She said, I don't know, but I've been praying. Then the pastor said, let me show you from the Word of God how to make your prayers come true. Because there are some things you don't just pray. God already showed us what to do. So she was listening. And the pastor said, right, my daughter is a wonderful girl and she's coming home. And he said, no, pastor, she's not a wonderful girl. She's so bad. She interrupted the pastor. Her mind was still full of anger. The pastor said, you want a solution, don't you? She said, yes. Then follow the instruction. Right, my daughter is a wonderful girl and she's coming home. And so she wrote it down. Then the pastor said to her, write nice things about your daughter. Try. And so she tried and wrote nice things about her daughter. Oh, she's a beautiful girl. She's coming home. She's doing nice things. She's helping other people. And she's writing all these beautiful things about her daughter, who's in some hotel somewhere, you know, misbehaving with some other guy somewhere. But the pastor said, you've got to learn to have in your mind a picture of what you want. If you can't create it, it will never happen. So the lady wrote that down, and the pastor said, read this every day, several times a day, and read it to yourself several times a day until you can say it without reading it, until you become so excited about it, it's in your mind, you just so love it, and you can see it. Then she said, all right. So the pastor said, that's when we will pray together. When you can't believe it, we will pray. So she went back, and for several days, she's going through this difficulty of fighting between, you know, what she thinks in her mind about her daughter in the circumstances and what the pastor says, this is how you can create what you want. But she's trying. She's going through it every day, several times a day. And you know what? After several weeks, and the girl wouldn't come home. She's like, she's gone. And she's not hearing from her daughter anymore. So she came to church one day, and she's so excited. She says, pastor, guess what? And started saying all these things so happily. My daughter is a wonderful girl. She's so beautiful. She's coming home. She's helping other people. You know, she's so excited. The pastor had to say, calm down, calm down, calm down. Has she come now? Oh, pastor, she's coming home. She's coming home. She's so excited. Then pastor says, oh, he got it. Then he says, now let's join together and decree that these things that you have stated will come to pass. And right there and then, they decreed that this will come to pass. And she went back home. Three nights later, they're sleeping at home. There's a knock at the door. She just knew it had to be her daughter. She just knew it had to be. And she comes to the door, and right away, hello, she says, and it's her daughter. She walks in, please forgive me, please forgive me. I did this, I did that. And the mom says, don't worry about it. I knew you were coming. I knew you were coming. And they reconciled. She gave her life to Christ right there and received the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Think about it. Nothing is impossible. All we have to do is use what God has given to us. If you will meditate on God's word, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. It'll produce its message in you. It'll produce it in you. Think today. What do you want to see in your life? What part of the word do you want to see in your life? Is it more wisdom you want manifested in your life? Is it health? Have you been having health challenges? And you're thinking, I really want to be healthy. I don't want to be going for these drugs and those drugs and the other anymore. I want to be healthy and sound. Is that what you want? Or is it your finances? Don't think about those who are paying you or not paying you. Those who are owing you. No, don't think about them. Think about our wonderful Heavenly Father who supplies all our needs, all our desires, everything we ever require for life and godliness. Think about Him and think like this world belongs to you. And all you want or need or require is coming to you by free course. Hallelujah. Think like that. You'll be amazed at the results. What I want you to do at this moment is take the next few minutes and contrive. Practice this. Use your mind. Try to think of something that you want, the way you want it to be, not the way it is, but how you want it. Hold a picture in your mind of a situation that's been on your mind. And I want you to think of how you really want it to be. What do you want to see next about this situation? Picture it. Try to create a picture and see, will that picture make you happy? All right? Will it make you happy? Would you be excited about it? What do you want this picture to be? Okay? So, set your mind on it. You just have a few minutes. Get a picture. That's just what I want you to do. Get a picture of what you want. Whether it's about your job, about your life, about your body, whatever it is, your finances, anything. Just think about it. In fact, you can even try to write it down if you want to. Just write what you want and then start having that picture in your mind. Exactly the way you want it. So let's go.
Still to come in this inspiring teaching.
Christ is a place. See, Christ is a person. Christ is also a title. But beyond all of that, Christ is a place. So he says, now that you're born in this environment called Christ, I want you to live here. I want you to have the mentality that you have, that you're supposed to have, that you develop, that you're given through the Word and the Holy Ghost in Christ.
Listen and be blessed.
Colossians chapter 2 from verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And I said for us to meditate on this portion of the Bible, because it's loaded with information, with truth. And we will discuss this. But I want to point something to you there in that sixth verse. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Is in verse 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, when it says, as ye have received Christ Jesus, the word is paralambano. And paralambano means to receive into association. It means to join yourself with, to receive closely. So it's a word of association, a word of relationship. So you're actually coming into a relationship. So you're joining yourself with Him, or He is received in such a relationship that you become one with Him. That's what that word means. So it says, as ye have received the Lord. He's talking about Jesus. You've received Him. You've joined yourself with Him. You've come into a close relationship with him. That means receiving him into nearness, into association. See, he says, now walk in him, live in him, walk in him. In other words, we've been born into a new environment called Christ. See, you no longer think like you're of this world, because you're no longer of this world. When you're born again, you're born into Christ. You're born into a new environment. See, think about it this way. Imagine that you were born in England. There's a certain way you would think. That's different from if you were born in Ghana, or if you were born in France. You think differently. See, your place of birth matters a great deal. Your place of birth, it says something about your heritage. It says something about what belongs to you. And it says something about how you may live. And that's why God wants us to know what we've been born into. The environment, the nation. He says, this man was born there. See, it says when he writeth up the people, he would say, this man was born there. Of Zion it shall be said, this man was born there. You were born in Zion. So, where you're born matters. Now, when you're born again, he gives you this light. He says, now that you've received Christ Jesus, now that you're born again, now that you have this new life in Christ, he says, walk in him. In him, because Christ is a place. See, Christ is a person. Christ is also a title. But beyond all of that, Christ is a place. Did you know when Jesus said, I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Now, what Jesus was saying there was, I'm going to prepare a place called Christ. That's the city that we've been born into. That's the environment that we now belong to. So he says, live in this environment. Not only are you born here, he says, I want you to live here. So you become a native of this environment. You know, you can be born in a certain country and live in another country. You can be born in one environment and live in another environment. He knows that. So he says, now that you're born in this environment called Christ, I want you to live here. I want you to have the mentality that you have, that you're supposed to have, that you develop, that you're given through the Word and the Holy Ghost in Christ. And here, one of those very powerful statements in verse 10, ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in Christ. How powerful this is. It's a climactic statement. Something you run with. You hear it, and you never again should think differently. It's like the revelation at the summit. You see, because it says, you're complete in him. Meaning, everything that is necessary for life and godliness, that's the way Peter put it. Everything that's required for life and godliness has been granted you in Christ. You've got everything. Everything. Never again think that something is missing in your life. Never again. Did you know when a Christian thinks like, oh, there's something I don't have, or even something missing in your body. Maybe you think, okay, I don't have this, or I don't have that. You're thinking wrongly. In Christ, you're complete. That's the way God sees you. He's granted you all things, and you've got to have this mentality. You've got to have this way of thinking. You're not allowed to think differently. Now, to think differently means to think like those outside of Christ, those outside our environment. We have a mentality. We have a reasoning. Our mentality is called the wisdom of the righteous. See, it's the wisdom of the righteous. We walk with the wisdom of the righteous. That's what the Bible tells us, that we should renew our minds. See, every Christian has the responsibility to renew his mind. When you come to Christ, when you're born again, now you're born into this environment, you've got to renew your mind. You can't live in Christ with the same mind that you had in the world. You can't think like them. You can't talk like them. It's not allowed. You can't use the wrong language. But you see, if you don't know the Word of God, you can't have the language. The language isn't dropped in your tongue. You got to learn it. You learn it from the Word. You're trained in the Word. You renew your mind through the Word. It's an exchange. You give up your way of thinking for His way of thinking. You give up your thoughts for His thoughts. You give up your opinions for His opinions. That's Christian growth. As long as you have your opinions that are different from God's opinions, you are still thinking like the world. You're still thinking like the environment of the world. You're thinking like someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Train yourself with the Word. And this really is one of the benefits of meditation. Meditating on God's Word will transform you completely. It'll give you the language of the righteous. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you remember the story in the Bible of the 12 spies that were sent to the Promised Land? And Moses sent them, and they came back and said, wow, it was really beautiful. It's flowing with milk and honey. But then they said, we can't take it. The giants there, it's too difficult. We can't take it. We can't take the land. The giants in the land. They said, truly, it flows with milk and honey. God said it does. And they said, it's true. They said, we saw it. But God didn't only say the land was filled with milk and honey. He also said, you're going to take it. I've given it to you. But they said, you know what? We can't take it. We know God said we should take it. And we're going to take it. But we don't believe Him. Because He didn't tell us about the giants. When we saw the giants, we knew we couldn't take it. Because God didn't tell them about the giants. Why didn't God tell them about the giants? Because the giants were not a factor. And they just didn't know it. They were not a factor. So, God said, I've given you the land. Now, there were 12 of them spies. Only two stood out. Only two of them said, look, if God delights in us, then He'll give us the land. If God delights in us, I like that. If God delights in us, He'll give us the land. And then they said, you know, we can take the land. Those giants shall be bread for us. Then they added something. Let us go up at once. I like it. Let's go up at once. If God delights in us, He'll give it to us. Those giants will be bread for us. Think like that in your life. That's a mentality. It's a way of thinking. Notice they said, if God delights in us, He'll give us the land. So the question, does God delight in you? They knew it. They knew God delighted in them because they had heard the words from Moses. Moses said it. Moses said it. He said, the reason God is blessing you, the reason God brought you out of Egypt, He says, it's not because you were such a strong people. He says, it's not because you were so many. It's not because you were anything else, but because God loved your fathers and He made them promises. So you are Abraham's seed. God, therefore, delights in you. It's because God loved your fathers. Can you imagine? It wasn't anything they did. God said, I've given you the land. Now look at this. The Bible tells us, in Christ Jesus, we are loved of the Father. See, Jesus Christ was the demonstration of God's love. He was God's love in the flesh. Jesus was God's love manifested to us. It doesn't get better than that. Love encapsulated in a human body. Look at it. This is so powerful. Remember what the Bible says. God is love. Look at it. In verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, the totality of divinity resides in Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of God. He is the embodiment of deity. That's who Jesus is. So if God is love, Jesus is the embodiment of love. His love expressed to us. That's who Jesus is. He was love walking in the streets. An amazing reality. Imagine if you had that consciousness. Jesus cannot but love. It's his nature. He can only love. Amazing. He can only love. He can't do otherwise. He can only love. So, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wow. So powerful. So powerful. Let's go again. We started in that verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. Look at it. Still in that environment. You're born there. You must live there. You must grow there. You must be built up there. Then it says, as ye have been taught. See, you get built up through the teaching of God's word. Being taught is very important. You know, there are so many Christians in the world today who are not taught God's word. They're so ignorant. And just listening to them can tell you how ignorant they are. So many things go wrong. And they don't know what to do. There's no direction. They're not sure what tomorrow holds. They're just living like, okay, a new day comes. We don't know. We don't know what might happen. God doesn't let his children think like that. It's wrong. It's a slap on the face of God to think and talk like that. You always think differently. Your Heavenly Father, I told you, every day that comes is a day of blessing for you. He says, I know my thoughts for you. The thoughts that I think towards you. The thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you an expected end. Now, I want us to talk about this verse 8. There's something there. He says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Yeah. Philosophy just means their love of wisdom. Philo, love. Sophia, wisdom. So it's just love of wisdom. And what it means is, it's referring to those who got excited about, in a sense, the new knowledge. You know? A new thinking. And they had speculations, they had assumptions, and they were delving into spiritual things and coming up with their theories. Okay? And teaching these things at that time. And that's what Paul is addressing there. He says, beware lest any man spoil you. You get that? through philosophy and vain deceit. You know, we think, oh, my faith was not enough to get it. You know, we think we need more faith to get it. So we're praying more and declaring more and trying to get what already belongs to us. See? It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. See? They have a way of thinking. They have an established tradition. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it's going to be. And not after Christ. Then it says, after the rudiments of the world. It's referring to people being taught according to the principles of this world. Why would you live according to the principles of this world? For example, I've got this feeling in my body, and so my temperature is up. I'm losing appetite, and I'm feeling so weak and probably throwing up. And I'm thinking, that means I've got malaria. That's according to the principles of this world. So I've got malaria. How do you know you've got malaria? You had to be taught that you had malaria. You don't know you have malaria except you're taught. You don't even know what the name means. You've got to be taught. You know, I tell people, there is no congenital poverty. You know, nobody was born poor. Nobody was born poor. You can't, no one was born poor. We think, oh, well, come on. If the father and the mother didn't have nothing, then that child was born poor. No, nobody was born poor. There's nobody in the world who was born with something in his hand. Everybody was born the same way. So what happens to people? It's very simple. You've got to be taught. Poverty is taught. Poverty is taught. You're taught to be poor. You're taught to be poor. So you look at you, you look at your home, you're growing up. It's not congenital. Look at you. Oh, look, those kids over there. They're happy, they're well-dressed. So why don't I have those toys? And they say, you know, they're rich, we're poor. He didn't know that. He thought his father had everything. He was satisfied. He wasn't asking for anything. He's a little guy. He's not asking for anything. Children just grow up and love wherever they're put. They don't care. You have to let them know, this is where we are. We're different from those other guys over there. They're rich and we're poor. He didn't know that. Oh, really? He didn't care that you didn't have a car and the other guys had a car. It didn't matter to him. He didn't think that that meant he was poor. He had to be taught that, you see, you can't have it because you're poor. You need to have money before you can have that. He didn't know that. Because the parents or guardians or those that were bringing them up had the poverty mentality themselves. See, they were poor in their minds. Now they're teaching the kid how to be poor. So he grows up learning poverty. And then he reproduces poverty. You know, I tell people money exists in the mind of the poor. There's no such thing as money. Don't be deceived. Everything you'll ever have, everything you'll ever require is inside you. When you think God's thoughts, when you're brought into this environment, you live differently. You realize you don't, look at Jesus, they wanted taxes paid. And Jesus said, well, you know, it's wrong for them to ask us to pay the taxes, but we're going to pay them anyhow. He said to Peter, you go to the water, cast your hook, put your hook into the water, first fish you catch, get a coin out of it. He produced a miracle. When he wanted to feed the multitudes, he commanded what they had to multiply. He blessed it. He was never looking for something that, oh, I don't have it, so. He never measured his status by what he had or didn't have on the outside. He had all things. The Bible says, from within your heart, from within your heart are the issues of life. Oh, I wish you could think like that. If you think like that, and the truth is you can think like that, because that's why God wants you to think like that, because you can. Start reprogramming yourself. Start reprogramming yourself. God wants you to think like him. Don't think out of your pocket. Don't think out of your bank account. Don't think like that. Not from your pocketbook. Think from his word. He gives you the right mentality. And if you have that mentality, everything that is necessary for life and godliness will come to you. They'll all gravitate towards you. Money will come to you in abundance. Good things will come to you because they belong to you. That's the way they happen. That's why there are some people who are always seemingly having good things happen. And there are some people who just, they always have the short end of the stick. They're always coming up short. Something always seems to go wrong. In fact, if everybody's been given something good, when it gets to their turn, it stops. And then there it is again. I've got this bad luck. I don't know. Maybe I'm not blessed. Maybe something is wrong with me. Then they start looking for the demons that are after them. Demons after you? After you've known Jesus Christ? I thought you were born into this environment. In this environment where we live, demons don't have power. They don't have authority. I like this. Oh boy. Look at that verse. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, the principles of the world, not after Christ. Principles of the world. Oh, what we can do. What we can do in Christ. Have a new mentality. Now, the next two verses that you really emphasize, he says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. You're complete. This is very big. I want you to look at these two verses together. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in Christ. Now, he was here referring to the man Jesus. You know, we can talk about Jesus Christ. And we can talk about Christ as the church, you know, and so on. But here he's talking about the man Jesus. And it says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's too powerful, you know. Jesus Christ, not short of God. He is everything God is. Jesus is everything God is. Is everything God is. That's what that verse says. In him dwelleth. Meaning that God Almighty is resident. And it uses the term the Godhead. The Godhead. That means the completeness of God. All the seven spirits of God. If you never heard that, read our book titled The Seven Spirits of God. The completeness of God, the completeness of deity lives in Jesus. Now, that makes Jesus one of a kind. Absolutely. Absolutely. He stands out. Absolutely. But then, he says, and ye are complete. Now, the word translated complete there really means full. It means full. And so, because it's dealing with the fullness. It's coming from the same word. Pleroma, plero. Okay? So, it says, and ye are full in him. Ye are full. Full in him. So, in Christ, ye are full. So, he's dealing with the same fullness that Jesus has. So, Jesus is full of God. And in Christ, I am full. Full of what? Ephesians chapter 3. And I read it to you from, you know, it's a long verse, a long portion rather. From the 14th verse, you know, you keep going. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about what he prays for us about. That Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What do you mean that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith? Christ already lives in your heart. So why does he pray that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith? He's talking about a consciousness. You see, the babe in Christ doesn't realize it. That's why he says, I travail, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. Didn't mean they didn't have Christ. He's talking about Christian growth. He's talking about a walking in a consciousness of the indwelling Christ. And so he goes, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded. See, that's what we just read. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. That he might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is extraordinary. So when it says in him, you are full. Full. You're full in him. Full of what? Full of God. All the fullness of God. I'm complete. I'm full of God. If I'm full of God, how could I be missing anything? The Creator of all things lives in me. He lives in me. I don't need to tell him, oh God, give me new lungs. No. I don't need to tell him, oh God, I've got this damaged whatever. Give me a new one. No. You don't need that. You say, in Christ, I have all things. In Christ, I am full. I am complete. I am complete. Glory to God. I am complete. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why you were told to meditate. Meditate on this. Because so much to learn. Now, what are you going to do? In the next few minutes, you're going to meditate on this. Meditate on this. Think like you are complete in Christ. Think like those things that you've been thinking and aiming for, you actually have them. You're on a journey. And at every point that you require them, they will be there for you. Think like that. You're on a journey. At every point that you require that thing, it will be present. Because it belongs to you. Don't try to get it. It's yours. Why don't you try to get something that's already yours? It's yours. You're complete in Christ. Hallelujah. So, right now, meditate on that. Meditate on it and think like the world is yours. Because that's what the Bible says. It's all yours. Think like that. Think like a child who's bold towards his heavenly Father and has no fear and has no care in the world. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall garrison your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank Him. Worship Him. Honor Him. Honor Him. Declare that your faith is strong in Christ. Declare that you are living in Christ. You're living in this environment called Christ. Declare that you're bold in the Lord. Declare that all things are yours. And that you have all things that you require for life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that has called you to glory and virtue. Declare it with your mouth. Declare it. Declare that you are in the life of prosperity and it can't be different. You're prosperous in Christ. You're successful in Christ. Declare it. Declare it and keep it in your mentality. Never change it. Ever let anything change it. Never let circumstances change it. This is your thinking. This is your mentality. If God lives in you, health is yours. Complete health. There's no sickness in your body. There's no disease in your body. There's no infirmity in your body. The life of Christ is at work in you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Mali kopra konte klera diga sagra di lahandra digo sopra tila kumandele. Jonte kopra kila kantora zete gisi. Jila makresto praktila gonto bres. Sora makate legere gisi. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.